Okay, page 1,000, five lines to the top of the page, Pasuk Dalet. The Pasuk is, it's telling us, Hashem says, when you come into the land, and it's a bunch of idol worshippers there, and you have to destroy all the places. What's wrong?
I didn't hear the page.
1,000. Graduated. Kidding, it's a big, we should make a party. It says you have to destroy all the places that the Goyim worship, whether it's on the high mountains, the low places, whatever it is, you need to destroy all the places. You need to break up their Mizbeach and their Matseva. And Rashi says Matseva is one stone, Mizbeach is many stones. Bottom line is, you have to destroy it, okay?
Rabbi, that means that they have to search the whole land?
Yeah. They have to search the whole land and they have to destroy all the places.
On the top of the mountain?
It wasn't Mount Everest, you know, I mean... but they, people on top of the mountains. Whatever it was, they had to destroy, yeah. I mean, that's what the Torah says. It's a one-time mitzvah, really, to destroy those idols. But the next pasuk is very interesting. Le'isasin kem l'Hashem alekechem. But that you're not allowed to do to Hashem. This is the source, by the way, of not erasing Hashem's name. That you're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. That you're not allowed to destroy any holy places, any places of Kedusha that you're not allowed to destroy. Because Hashem says you need to destroy their altars, but Hashem's altar is not. You have to destroy all their idols, but anything of Kedusha that you're not allowed to. Okay, so now... So it's basically like a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah. There's a positive mitzvah that you have to destroy all their idols, and you're not allowed to do it to Hashem. Now, meaning, if there's a name of Hashem written, page 1,000. If it's there's a name of Hashem, it's forbidden to erase it. Any of the seven names of Hashem, you're not allowed to erase. Not only that, if it's a name of Hashem in any language. Mm-hmm. So we learned you're not allowed to say Hashem's name in vain. Mm-hmm. In any language, you're not allowed to destroy any of the names of Hashem. This is the source, by the way, of the mitzvah that you're not allowed to destroy Sheamus. You're not allowed to,
Allah also, you cannot destroy Allah in Arabic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't destroy it,
yeah? Right.
About 72 name of the Hashem. What's his seven name of Hashem?
Those are different Kabbalistic names of Hashem. The way Hashem is written out, the name of Hashem in various different ways. But by the way, Rashi adds something over here, and from which also the halacha, but Hashem is saying like this: when the Jews sin, they go into exile. Mm. Then the Goyim destroy the Beis Hamikdash and all the things. So this is a mitzvah, is what Rashi says. You're not allowed to sin b'chlal. Because that's going to cause Hashem's name to be destroyed
by other people.
The Beis Hamikdash could be destroyed. So Hashem says you shouldn't do anything that will cause a Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed. And this, by the way, this is the whole of the source that you're not allowed to sell a shul for a church, because then you're taking it from Hashem's holy places, you're making it their places. All these things are forbidden to do. And therefore, it also teaches, you know, you have to put what's called Sheamus, you have to bury them, you know, to throw them out, and all these types of things. Now, what you're saying is like this. There are even different interpretations of what the name of, Hashem's name of Ayin Beis. It doesn't necessarily mean 72 letters. We learned this in the past. There's the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay, Yud Kei Vav Kei equals 26, right? Yud is 10, Hey is 5, Vav is 11, 6, and this is... So Yud Kei Vav Kei equals 26. But when you have the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, okay, when you have the letter Yud, there's the letter Yud, and then you have what's called in Hebrew the Milui of the Yud. Because Yud is the letter Yud, but you read it Yud Vav Dalet.
Okay? It's three letters.
I mean, you write it, it's Yud, but when you pronounce it, okay. Hey could be Hey Aleph, Hey Hey, or Hey Yud.
Three.
Vav, no, I'm not talking about the amount, I'm talking about numerical values. Vav could be written Vav Vav, or Vav Aleph Vav. And again, hey could be hey Aleph, hey hey, or hey Yud. So it says in Kabbalah there's Shem Ma, Mem Hey, Ban, Sag, Samach Gimel, and Ab, 72. That's what it says in Kabbalah. Now, interestingly, Adam equals 45, Behema equals 52. This is what the Pasuk says, Adam u Behema Toshia Hashem. Hashem saves Adam and Behema. Adam equals 45, which is Shema. Ban is the 52. Sag and Ayin Beis. Now, how do you get this? So if you add, let's say take the Yud, yeah? Yud is written Yud Vav Dalet. So Yud is 10. Vav and Dalet is 6 and 4. So the Yud is 20.
Yeah.
Now you have Hey. So let's say you have Hey Aleph. Hey Aleph equals 6. That's 26. Now if you have the second Hey, is another 6.
Yeah.
That's
32.
And then you have Yud. If you have Hey, so that's another 10. So that it equals
42.
No.
Because 40, you count it, 41.
One second. Yud is 20.
Yeah.
Hey, let's say, is, hey, hey, is 10. It's 36. No, you can't do it that way. Hey, Aleph.
Hey, Aleph, 6.
Hey, Aleph is 6.
26.
That's 26. And then you have another 6.
Wow.
Which is 32. Yeah? Then you have the Vav. Yeah, would be Vav Aleph Vav is another 13, which equals 45.
Yeah.
That's the Shema. Ban would be if you have Hey Hey instead of Hey Aleph. Okay, and then Hey Yud would, whatever. That's the various different ways of figuring it out. Now, it's some interesting, because if you look at the name of Hashem, and that's what something when it says the name of 72, it means the milui of Yud Kei Vav Kei with a Yud instead of a Hey. Hey Yud instead of Hey Hey. But if you notice, it says in Kabbalah, it's like this, Ma, Ban, Sag, and Ab. Really, it should be Nab, Nun Beis. You see, Mem Hey, Ma, right? Mem Hey. So then it should be Nun Beis, not Beis Nun. And Sag is Samach Gimel, right? The bigger number first, Ayin Beis. So why is it called Ban? It should be called Nab, Nun Beis. So it says in Kabbalah like this, because Ma, 45, 4 and 5 equals 9. Sag, 63, 6 and 3 equals 9. Ab is 72, 72 equals 9. But if you have Nab, it only equals 7. 52 is 5 and 2 is 7, not 9. What's special about 9? 9 is the thing of Emes. Emes is Aleph Mem Sof is 441. 441, 4 and 4 and 1 equals 9. Yeah? What? Emes is 9. Why is 9 Emes? That is interesting. Why is 9 Emes? Because any multiple of 9 equals 9. Like 2 times 9 is 18, 1 and 8 is 9. 3 times 9 is 27, 2 and 7 is 9. 45, 54, 63. Any multiple of 9 will always equal 9. And the Ralbag, one of the famous commentaries, writes, he uses this, Ha'emes maskim la'atzmo mikol tzad. Emes, any way you look at it, always equals itself. So what is a true number in math? 9 is a true number because any multiple of 9 equals 9. Got it? Now, so what do we gain by making it ban instead of nab? Hey, it's 52, it's only 5 and 2 is 7. So it says, in Sfardim it's brought down, the highest number, the last letter is tough, is 400. Yeah? But then you have what's called the Asius Kfulis, the final letters. So it says in Sfarim, not only in Kabbalah, in Sfarim it says that the Chav Sofit, the Langa Chav, the En Chav, is 500. The long Mem, the final Mem, is 600. The long Nun is 700. The long Pei is 800. The long Tzadik is 900. This is what it says in Svarim. So if you have Beis with the long Nun, that Nun equals 700. So then it's 702. 702 equals 9. Understand? Because Ban, if it would be Nab, it would be 52. That only equals 7. But if you have Ban, so the long Nun, according to what we just said, equals 700. So Beis Nun would be 702, which would be equal, again, 9. That's all the names of Hashem or Emes. By the way, I'll tell you another interesting thing. Any word in Torah, I don't want to go through it now, but any word in Torah equals 9. I don't mean the word bow. Bow equals 3. But I'm saying, any word in Torah, I will show you equals 9. What's another interesting thing? Shabbos, Shin, Beis, Sof. Yeah? So, what is Shabbos? Shin, Beis, Sof. Also equals, Shin, Beis is 302, and plus 400 is 702. It can equals 9. But Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. Yeah? All the foods we eat on Shabbos equal 7.
Hello.
If it's yid, dog, fish, Dalet Gimel is 4 and 3. Chala, Ches, Lamed, Hay is 43. Chala equals 43. Ches is 8, Lamed is 30, Hay is 5. Yeah? Equals 43. 4 and 3 is 7. Yayin, Yud Yud Nun, equals 70, which is again 7. Any the major foods you'll eat on Shabbos, they equal 7. It's just interesting how Jewish tradition works, because Shabbos is the seventh day, but that's what it is. So therefore, coming back to the Pasuk, before you got off.
I have a question.
What?
Gematria of the number. Why?
Halachal Moshe Masinai.
Sir.
Yeah.
This is the secret of the Torah.
Remez. No. It's called Remez. This Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod. Remez is the Gematria, the acronym Rosh Hatevis, Gematria. That all is the level of Remez. That's not the highest level of Torah. So therefore it says, Lisasin kem Hashem lekechem yinalo to. Erase the name of Hashem. The exception of this, by the way, the Mefarshim say over here, is the Saita, when you write her name on the piece, her name. You write Hashem's name on a piece of paper and you erase the name in the water, because Hashem says, to make peace between husband and wife, I erase my name. That's what Hashem says to the people. But this is the negative commandment about tearing up Hashem's name. Then we were learning the stamet from a halachic perspective. In fact, I had the shaila, and I had it twice, in fact. You know, people have these crazy tattoos today. So what happens if a guy tattoos Yudkei Vavkei on his hand? I know two cases of people did that. They have Yudkei Vavkei tattooed on the hand. So it says, how can they go into the bathroom? You can't take Hashem's name, especially Yud Kei Vav Kei, the holiest of all the names. So it says in Allah, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, but the Halacha is you have to cover it. When you go into the bathroom, you have to cover it.
Two times you should cover it, not one time.
They say even once is enough, okay, but no, it's interesting, when you take a shower, you have to cover it. It's a whole thing, the Gemara talks about it.
That we cannot cannot kill in it, you cannot remove it also.
You can't remove it, no. That's why you can't have Mechikas Hashem. Even in a Sefer Torah, where you don't have to write in order, you know, we can correct something later, but if you have Hashem's name, you're not allowed to correct Hashem's name, because then you're doing a Mechika.
So what happens?
You have to
change that part,
or write, or cut out the whole thing and then put in a patch of parchment and write it over the patch. I mean, there are ways, but you can't You know, this is what this pasuk tells us, by the way. This five words, Yisasim ken Hashem Elokeichem, is this mitzvah of not destroying Hashem's name in any way. And they're being disrespectful to it and putting it to Sheamus and so on and so forth.
Rabbi, what? If the Torah get pasur, one letter is not...
You have to fix it.
Why don't you respect anyone to the Torah?
Why don't you respect it?
No, we don't respect it like the usual Torah. Why? Because,
because
a lot of name of Hashem in the Torah.
A Sefer Torah that's pasul has the same Kedusha as a Chumash.
Like
a Chumash. Not more. Because it's not a Sefer Torah, it's pasul. In fact, some people, when they want to transport a Sefer Torah, they want to send it to by mail. Sure. If they're shipping from Israel to America, whatever it may be. Either they don't complete it, or sometimes, what happens if it's a finished Sefer Torah? They'll take off one of the, they'll separate, they're sewed together, they'll unsew the stitches. Then they'll make it into two. Then it's not a kosher Sefer Torah, and then you can ship, you ship chumashim in a box, you can separate, set the Sefer Torah like that. That's so what they do a lot of times.
They say the name of Hashem should be respected.
Yes.
So is the real...
Yeah, you have to respect it. Like, Chumash also has to be respected.
You don't respect it, the real Torah.
What?
You don't respect it. Like, the real Torah.
I'm telling you, because there's a din like a Chumash. There's also Yud Kivav case here.
I know that.
So, you have to respect it like a Chumash, not more, though. Because it's not kosher. Okay, then the Torah says like this. The place that Hashem chose from all the tribes, Lasuma Shmei Sham, to put his name there, meaning the base of Migdosh, the Shichnei Sidrashu Uvasa Shama. Okay, you should seek out his presence, the Shechina, Uvasa Shama, and you should come there. Now, what does this refer to? So Rashi said, L'shichnei Sidrashu refers to Mishkan Shiloh. Okay? Now, we mentioned this in a previous time, we're learning a previous pasuk. What's very interesting is, nowhere in Chumash does it say Yerushalayim. Never in Chumash does it say Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't, not once. The Torah only uses the expression, HaMokem Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place God chose. So the Mefarshim discuss a lot of, very interesting things about this. Number one, it says like this, Hashem chose to make the place holy, and you should come there. Yeah? Uvas Hashem, you should come there. So the Mefarshim explain an interesting thing. The Goyim, when they come to a place, they bring their gods there. The gods, their gods follow them. Hashem says, by me it doesn't work like that. The place I pick, you go there. Uvasa Shama, you should go to the place I picked. I'm not going to the place where you picked. And if you want to pick this place holy, okay, Hashem says, I'll make it holy. No, Hashem says, no, it doesn't work like that. Even when the Jews traveled in the desert, even the Mishkan, no, but Hashem showed them where to stop with the clouds. So everything was up here, Hashem Yachno, up here, Hashem Yiso, because Hashem says, I'm not going to go where you make the place, I am going to make the place, and then you will come there. It's interesting, I want to go off a little, but the Mefarshim say, not about this, but about Lashon Kodesh, not Ivrit, I'm talking about Lashon Kodesh, Torah Hebrew, is different than all other languages. All languages of the world are Lashon Haskami. Haskami means people got together and they decided this is the word for this and this thing. How do you make a language? So every year people add new words to the dictionary. Every year hundreds of words are added to the dictionary because people come up with these crazy new words and it becomes a language. Right? Now a lot of Yiddish chutzpah. Even the Goyim use the word chutzpah, or schlepping, or things like that. This is Yiddish, it's not English. It became an English word. Why? Because people started using it, it became a word. Lashon Kodesh, though, it says, is Lashon Atzmi. It's not that a bunch of people got together and said, okay, this is what we're going to use, this is the way we're going to speak. Hashem created the Lashon Kodesh. Hashem created the world, in fact, Rashi says, with Lashon Kodesh, from the Medrash. But Hashem made the language. It's not a language that everybody got together to make. It's a Lashon Atzmi, meaning it's a language because Hashem made the language, just like here. Hashem is not saying, pick a place and I'll come there. That's what the Goyim did. They picked a place and they brought their gods there. Hashem says, I pick a place and that's where you have to go.
So, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke Lashon HaKodesh?
Sure.
Did the Jews, or they had their own
language? No, Lashon Kodesh.
But the different tribes, they had their own customs and their own...
No, not in those days.
When it started?
When people moved far out with different communications.
They started in the Sina, or before that?
After the Golos. After Golos, the Beis HaMikdash Sheni.
Sheni?
Yeah. All the Mefarshim asked, we learned it a long time ago when we started Chumash Devarim. Moshe Rabbeinu translated an Aleph Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Moshe Rabbeinu began translating the Torah into 70 languages. Yeah? So all the Mefarshim asked, all the Jews spoke only Hebrew. What's the purpose of Moshe then? You know, later on, they'll translate into English or whatever. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu translate Torah then into 70 languages if everybody spoke Hebrew? They explain he wanted to bring the Kedusha of Torah into any language. That when you learn Torah in any language, you have the whole Kedusha of Torah in the language. But Lashon Kodesh is what the Jews spoke. In Mitzrayim, they didn't change their language. Shlishina L'Shenam. Hashem created the world with it, and the Jews spoke, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to them Lashon Kodesh. Yeah, there was no other language.
So later on, when they moved to Eretz Yisrael,
they also spoke only Lashon Kodesh.
They
spoke Lashon Kodesh, where there was no need to speak any other language.
So you say started before the Beit HaMikdash.
What?
Before the exact...
What?
Different
languages?
No, the same language.
No, I said Hebrew was from the beginning of the world. Hashem created the world, Lashon Kodesh. When Hashem said Yehi Ord, yeah, or Yehi Rokia, or Yehi Shemesh, whatever, He said it in Lashon Kodesh.
No, but people, what about people? What did
Migdal Bavel, the Babylonian tower, when Hashem dispersed them, that's when 70 languages started.
But before?
There was only Lashon Kodesh.
So everybody, even the Rishonim, spoke Lashon Kodesh.
Rashi says in Parshas Noach.
About,
at the end of Parshas Noach, right before the Migdal Bavel, after the story of the Mabel, Mamash by Shvi. Here. Vayi chol ha'aretz sof achas. The whole world was one language. Udvarim achodim. And common cause. So Rashi says, what is the language? I'm looking. Safa Achas, Lashon HaKodesh. The whole world spoke Hebrew until after the flood.
After the flood,
when Hashem spread them out, that's when Hashem gave them these languages. What?
So does that mean that all the languages today are somehow derived from those 70 languages?
Sure. Yeah. Just like all the nations in the world today are derived from the 70 nations. The 70 languages correspond with the 70 languages correspond with the 70 nations. Now there are a lot of offshoots from the 70. Today we have much more than 70 countries. Mm-hmm. There's 120, I don't know what it is. Whatever the amount of countries in the world, many of them are offshoots. They're all offshoots from the 70 nations. Besides the Jews. The Jews is not part of the 70. So there's 70 languages, but until that time after the flood, everybody spoke only Lashon Kodesh.
So, in total, there are 71 languages.
Correct. Correct. But the difference is, the 70 languages are what people made up. And Lashon Kodesh is an essential language. And therefore, like we learned, the Torah, when Hashem created the Malach, Hashem created first the Malachim, yeah, and then on the sixth day he created Adam. So it says in the Medrash, if the Pasuk says, Adam Rishon gave names to all the animals, you know, all the animals of the world, he gave names, yeah. So what made that happen? It says in the Medrash that when Hashem created Adam, the Malachim came and said, who's this new kid? Who's this new guy? You know, we're here, the animals are here, who's this new guy? So Hashem said to them, be quiet. Chachmasai merubah michachmaschem. His wisdom is smarter than yours. So they said, like, prove it. Let's see. So it says, Hashem called all the malachim, brought all the animals in front of the malachim, and says in the Medrash, Hashem said to the malachim, give him names. And they couldn't. And he brought them to Adam. That's what the Pasuk says, Adam gave names to all the animals. So it says in the Medrash, Adam saw a sus, a horse. He said, Lazen, no, for this is good to call sus. Chamor, chamor, gomel, gomel. He gave the names. So that every moron names their dogs. I mean, every dog, you have a dog, you give it a name, a cat, a cow. I mean, what's the big chochmah of giving names? This is how Hashem proved to the Malachim that Adam Rishon is smarter than them. Every yukul can give a name. What's the big deal? So the answer is, the Malachim understood that and they couldn't do this. The name of something in Lashon Kodesh, because it's coming from Hashem, the lifeline of this animal, like a horse, Isus, Samach Vav Samach, the lifeline of a horse is through the letter Samach Vav Samach. 1 second. Chamor is through Ches Mem Vav Resh. Gomel is Gimel. So Adam Rishon's greatness was, when he saw a horse, he saw what type of life it has from Hashem, and how that life of coming from Hashem goes through the letters Samach Vav Samach. That was his wisdom. And therefore, by the way, in a more closer way, when a parent has a child, it's mamish, a nevuah given to the parents what to name the baby. And therefore, nobody is brought down. Nobody is allowed to mix it. Not the mother-in-law, not the daughter-in-law, not the dog-in-law, puppy-in-law, nobody. Nobody is allowed to mix in to the name of the baby because it's a prophecy given to the parents at the time of the naming. What's the name of the baby? What's the prophecy? If somebody is called Moshe, so that means that the lifeline of that child, because it's Lashon Kodesh, is Mem Shin Hei. And the parents, they don't know what any, but they have a prophecy to say, call him Moshe.
So what happened when things, let's say, changed or new, let's say fruit came out, like in the last years?
That's not Lashon Kodesh.
So then what are those things that there's no Lashon Kodesh name for these new inventions?
There might not be biblical names for them, no.
Or cars or things that
you know,
happen.
There's modern Hebrew, Ivrit, made up by Yehuda, what was it, Ben Yehuda, yeah?
Eliezer Ben Yehuda.
Eliezer Ben Yehuda. Now, a lot of Gedolei Yisrael were against a lot of words that he used. For instance, the simple example is chashmal, mm-hmm, is electricity. Mm-hmm. Now, why did he get the word chashmal? Because in the Merkava of Yecheskel, when he saw the Kedusha on the Merkava and of Hashem's throne with the Malachim, over it says, Kena chashmal. Over there refers to a revelation of godliness. The whole chashmal was a holy chashmal. I mean, there's two words. In Sfarim, Mefarshim, they talk a tremendous amount about the concept of chashmal, and here they took it and used it for electricity. Like, how does the holy word chashmal get the electricity? So he made up the word. Is electricity a Torah word called chashmal? It's not. It's made up by people. That's why I say Lashon Kodesh is made up by Ivrit today is made up by people that made up a language. Obviously, they use a lot of words from Lashon Kodesh, right? But that's what they based it on. But a lot of these words are not in Torah. Okay, we're going off, but there's a stone, yeah? It's called Evan. Right? In Torah, it's called Evan. Mizbach Avonim. Okay. In the 6 days of creation, when Hashem created everything, there's no name Evan. There's no name Evan. Right? Or Shulchan. Or Torah names, I'm saying. Yeah? Torah calls the Shulchan a table. Right? But there's no, in creation, there's no word Evan. Correct? So where did it come from then? Where is it getting its life? Which letters of Hashem's name? So it says in Kabbalah that there's acronyms and there's numerical values and there's exchanging of letters. For instance, Adbash. In Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, Aleph and Tav are interchangeable. Beis and Shin are interchangeable. You know, because of the first and the last. And then you have the certain letters that come from the same part, like Aleph Ches Hey Ayin, come from the throat, Acha, Me'agoden. So these letters are interchangeable. Bump, Beis Vav Mem Pei, come from the Sfasayim. So they're interchangeable. So if you take any possible creation, I mean, you and I are not going to be able to do it, but the Tzaddikim, in any part of creation, you will find the word Evan. Not directly, indirectly through acronyms or numerical values or exchanging of letters, you will get the letter Evan. But, so what's the difference? Major creations, like the Shemesh Yoreach, that Hashem said clearly Shemesh and Yoreach. Detailed creations, they're not great enough to have a direct strong power of Hashem from the actual words of the Torah. So it comes through concealed methods, acronyms and numerical values and exchanging of letters and so on.
But that's only to like a certain point
in the creation. Right.
Things that happen.
There's no Torah name for it. There's no, correct.
But does that mean anything then?
It does, because the people accept it. It's accepted.
But does it mean that the things that were created before were like more special because they have these names that were more...
I guess so.
Fundamental coming from the creation. There's details coming from human beings.
No, but in Torah it doesn't matter. Even the details come from Hashem.
They put the radio name. Radio is
okay, they call radio. Like half of Hebrew is English.
So this is kind of, it's not coming from the Hashem.
Television. Yeah.
It's not coming from the Hashem. It's coming from the people.
Yeah, it's coming. That's what he said. Ivrit, the language Ivrit, that is not the Lashon Kodesh words, is Lashon Heskami, like any other language. With all due respect to the Israelis, there's no Kedusha in Ivrit. There's Kedusha in Lashon Kodesh. Lashon Kodesh. Ivrit is like any other language that people decided to call electricity, chashmal, or bathroom, sherutim, or like, you know, whatever. This is a language, people, huh?
It's a slang.
I don't know if it's a slang, it's a language, like it's not slang. English is not slang. English is a language, but it's a language. A bunch of people got up and made this into a language.
It's not really English, it's slang.
But what coming back to here, but if you have a name of Hashem like G-O-D in English, the fact that the nation accepted that name, so you can't destroy a paper that has God's name on it.
What do you do?
That's why people always write G-D when they write something. Yeah, they write G-D because then if it says G-O-D and it's written by a Jew, you can't throw it out.
A goy must we can't throw.
If a goy, the paskin you could throw it out.
But it's a print.
A print? I'm saying. So then it's a goy did it, not the Jew.
So how come the goy you can't?
But again, we've mentioned when it speaks about not destroying. We said if you have, you get something on the email, yeah, and it has Hashem's name on it. Yeah, or an email there's a pasuk. You can get an email, Vayidaber Chumash, yeah? You can get Chumash today on your phone, yeah? It says, Vayidaber Hashem Amar Shalemer. So, how can you erase the computer? How can you close the computer? You're erasing Hashem's name. Well, when you scroll up or down,
it's gone.
It's gone. It's not there. It's not there somewhere. It's gone. So how can you close the computer or erase it? So it's discussed in contemporary halacha, because if I take letters from alphabet serial or Scrabble, yeah, you have the Scrabble. I take a G and an O and a D and put it next to each other. Yeah? I could take away the G from the OD. I didn't destroy anything. I just took away the letter. It's not written. So you say the same thing computers, the post can write, is a bunch of dots. It's not actually written.
It's all dots.
It's all dots. So just like dots, you can separate the dots. Or for instance, if somebody wrote, this is about Shabbos also, yeah? If somebody wrote G-O-D here. You know, they write like Beverly Hills Library, right? So somebody writes G-O-D. Are you allowed to open and close the safer?
No.
What do you do?
You don't open the safer.
Don't open the safer. It's not a bad idea. It's a good excuse. All the kids will write it on G-O-D and then they'll tell the rabbi we can't open the book. You can't learn anything. The answer is you could. Okay, on Shabbos, you allowed to erase letters? No. Uh-huh. Can you write letters on Shabbos?
Uh-huh. No.
Okay, if you have a book that says Beverly Hills Library,
okay,
you allowed to open the book and close the book? So Shulchan Aruch says he could, because I'm not erasing, writing or erasing. I'm just putting next to each other and taking it away from each other. This is written already. I'm not doing anything. And the same thing with the Hashem name. There's an interesting question, by the way, about this also. Today we don't have tapes, but for those that are old people in the room, they know what a tape is. Tape recorder, yeah? You have a tape, or even a disc for that matter. A CD. Yeah, if you have a tape that you years ago when you wanted to teach a bar mitzvah kid, so the teacher would write do the parsha on the
tape,
on the tape, and then the kid would study from the tape over and over and over. Yeah, so are you allowed to erase the tape? Guy has Hashem's name, but he's laning the whole parsha. Hashem's name, are you allowed to erase the tape? Can you take the tape and throw it into the garbage? You have a tape, Jewish tapes.
Speech
on huh?
It's not written.
The answer is it's not written, and therefore you're not really erasing. They write, the Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva, the best thing is instead of erasing it directly, you know, years ago you have erased, you could erase it. Mm. So rather than tape over it, so then you're not actively erasing it, you're just talking over it, and the first thing automatically becomes erased. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, al pidin, it's not really considered erasing.
Rabin, in case of the tattoo that you mentioned,
yeah,
somebody has the name Yudke Wapke tattooed on his hand, and he wants to erase
it. By the way, somebody comes to the shul, has it, yeah?
And he wants to get rid of it.
Can't.
Well, if you put the dash in between the letters.
No. Hey, once it's written, it's written.
Can I destroy it, didn't
it?
Can't destroy it. Exactly, destroy it, huh?
Can't destroy it.
Even though
if you have the name of Yudke Vavke written on it, put a dash. After you write it, doesn't help.
After you're writing it, it doesn't help.
No.
So if somebody wrote on the board, for example, name of Yudke Vavke, can you erase it?
Halachically, no.
How do I erase it?
I don't know. The answer really is no. They'll do this, they'll do that, whatever.
So, after it's writing, they cannot put dash or space or...
It's not going to help. No. Okay. Let's get the next pasuk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You said it's interesting.
It's interesting. Okay, but... by the way, we got off because we're already in the next pasuk. Nowhere in the Chumash does it say Yerushalayim. Nowhere does it say the Beis Hamikdash. By the way, the Mefarshim also ask a very interesting contradiction, because one pasuk over here says, "Ashiyivcha Hashem mikol shivteichem," from all your tribes, and another pasuk says that it was in Binyamin's rishu, in the Binyamin's domain. So is it from all tribes, or is it in Binyamin's place? So the Gemara says like this, the Medrash says like this. David HaMelech bought Yerushalayim from this guy at Avno. even though Yerushalayim belonged to the Jews, David HaMelech, and it's interesting, Avraham Avinu bought Hebron,
part of,
okay, and David HaMelech bought Aravna. From Aravna, he bought Yerushalayim. Yeah? That even though Yerushalayim belonged to us, and there was no need for him to buy it, right, that Avraham Avinu could have gone to Hebron and said, it's my land, it's mine. But he wanted, there shouldn't be any questions, any doubts, no nothing. So he bought it. So it said, what did David HaMelech do? He wanted Yerushalayim to belong to everybody. So he collected money from all the Jews to buy this land. So therefore the land of Yerushalayim was actually bought, David HaMelech was the broker, but he actually took money from each Shevet to buy the land of Yerushalayim. And geographically, or like the Pasuk says in Tilm, Er Shechubra Lo Yachtov, it's an internet, it's an, it doesn't belong to any particular tribe. La'avdol, elef avdolos. Washington, D.C. is literally, I think, in Virginia, but it doesn't belong to Virginia. It belongs to the whole country. It's stateless. Geographically, it's in one state, but it doesn't count that way. Yerushalayim, geographically, is in the Chelek of Binyamin, but Hashem says it belongs to everybody. So the Mefarshim explain, why Taka does it say, Mokam Asher Yivchar Hashem, why doesn't it say, exactly the place of Yerushalayim or whatever it is. In fact, later on, in Pasuk Yudalid, the Pasuk says, the place that Hashem took in one of your tribes, here, later on it says, B'mokem Asher Yivchar Hashem Ba'achat Shvatecha. And here it says, Mikol Shivteichem. So it's obviously a contradiction. So they say again, David HaMelech gathered money from all the Jews and he bought the land, but it belongs to everybody. Yerushalayim belongs to everybody. But why does it say, Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem? So they say like this. If it would have said Yerushalayim, nobody would have ever respected Shiloh, Nov, and Givon where the Mishkan stood before the Beis HaMikdash. So if they already heard Yerushalayim, they would say, Mishkan Shiloh, it's nothing anyway. So Hashem said the place that Hashem chose. Okay? So Hashem says the place is going to be this. But there's another more important thing. The Mefarshim explain, I think it's the brother Rami of Prague explains, that Hashem tells a Jew, wherever you are, you can make a Beis HaMikdash. In today's parsha, Vasili Mikdash, Shechanti Beseichem.
Yes.
Hashem says to the Jewish people, the place Hashem chose. What do you mean? When you make the place holy, Hashem chooses that place to be holy. Hashem makes a Mishkan. You create a Mikdash within yourself, a Mishkan within yourself. Hashem comes there and to make the place holy. So it said, Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem, we said many times the story of the Tzemach Tzedek. He had a chassid that wanted to, today they were called Aliyah. Make Aliyah to Israel. And the Tzemach Tzedek saw that that person's place wasn't in Israel, it was where he was. So the Tzemach Tzedek told him no. Finally, he kept asking, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, make here Eretz Yisrael. And he said, make Eretz Yisrael here, because the Pasuk says, Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Any place Hashem chooses, where a person makes a keli for Hashem, or like the world says, where is God?
Everything.
Wherever you let him in. No. Yeah, that, everybody knows it, everywhere. But a great tzaddik once said, forgot who it was, he said, where is God? Wherever you let him in. Wherever you make a keli, that's what Hashem
is. Airport to landing, huh?
Yep. Vaveisim shama, and over there you will bring your burnt offerings, your feast offerings, masrei sechem, the tithing, veistrumas yadchem, and the truma that you give. V'nedrechem v'nedveisechem, somebody makes a vow to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. V'cheres b'kachem v'tzeinchem, and all the first, you know, the b'cher animals that you have to bring as a carbon. Basically, once Hashem chose that place, okay, then any place was called the bummis, the private altars were forbidden.
Get holy.
Huh?
Get holy.
Once Hashem had a particular place, That they couldn't bring a carbon anywhere else. Unless, and it says, well, okay, it's in the Sinai, a few psukim, that it says you can't make the place holy to bring a carbon, but the Navi, like Eliyahu Navi, you know, on Har Carmel, he built the Mizbeach with the water come down from heaven, you know, with the fire coming down from heaven, yeah? Everybody asked, Eliyahu Navi's time, the Beis Hamikdash existed already. How was he allowed to do it? So yes, Hashem told him it was Hirosho, it was a unique situation the Navi did. And people, Eliyahu Navi was a Navi, so halachically they had to trust him that that's what Hashem said. But normally it would be forbidden to make a bama, as it's called, an altar anywhere else once Hashem picked you to Shalayim. Couldn't do it anywhere else.
The first and second Beit HaMikdash, exactly the same place, is not in...
Exactly the same place. Yeah. In fact, the Rambam brings down, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, it's Gemara, but the Rambam brings it down about the Beis HaMikdash. When the Jews went back up to build the second Beis HaMikdash, they were unsure where the Mizbeach was. So Chagi Zechayim Malachi, the three Nevi'im that came up with them, one told them where the Mizbeach was, and one told them the measurements of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach had to be an exact place, because that was the main thing, right? The Mizbeach, the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam writes, the Mizbeach, where it was in the Beis HaMikdash, was the place that Akedus Yitzchok took place. The exact spot of the Mizbeach was the place where Akedus Yitzchok took place. Adam Arishin, he says, when he brought the carbon after creation, he says he brought a carbon, it was in that place. Noach brought the carbon right after the Teva, this. Avram, Yitzchok, yeah, everything was exactly the same place. And not only that, the Rambam adds that the place where the Mizbeach was made, that was the dirt of that place,
belonged to the...
that Hashem created Adam Arishin from. And it says, Adam, the Rambam says, Mimakim kaparasai nivra. The person was created from the place of his kapara, the Mizbeach. So it was the exact place.
Exactly.
The Beis HaMikdash, exactly the same place. Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, exactly the same place.
So I thought that the Beit HaMikdash, or that area, was purchased by Abraham.
No, Avraham Avinu bought Maris HaMachpelah, in Hebron, where the caves are, where the burial sites are. He didn't, David HaMelech bought the Yerushalayim. The Beis HaMikdash.
So because I heard one time that when there was the time that the time of the burial of Abraham, and then was Ishmael came, and Ishmael did the Teshuvah, and he let go of his firstborn, right? And then the land, therefore...
But Esav came and complained. But that was about Maris HaMachpelah. That wasn't about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, the Gemara says, David HaMelech bought.
Who he bought it from?
Aravna. This guy Aravna that owned it. He bought it.
I see.
And therefore, he bought it that nobody should be able to come along like today and say it's not the Jews, it's the Arabs, whatever.
It's strange that he's so powerful, he can get it by force, but he bought it. That's interesting.
He could have gotten it by force. No, because it says, the Mefarshim explained, because he didn't want, same thing with Maris HaMachpelah. He wanted these two places should be bought by Jews that nobody can ever come and say, this is theirs.
Interesting.
No argument.
No argument. And they still argue.
But
they're still arguing, saying it's theirs. Okay, so it says like this. Pasuk Zayin. V'achaltem shem l'vnei Hashem l'kechem. That's what you have to eat. The korban is before Hashem. U'smachtem v'chol mishlach yetchem. You have to rejoice when you bring the korbanos. Atem v'vateichem. Asher beracha Hashem l'kecho. That Hashem blesses you. Which means, as the Mefarshim explained, that u'smachtem l'vnei Hashem l'kechem. V'achaltem shem u'smachtem B'chol mishlach yadchem atam avadeichem. It's interesting. Mepharshim explain, this is like, not the source, but the concept of Ivdus Hashem b'simcha. B'chol mishlach yadchem, simply it means every undertaking. But what does it mean, undertaking? Anything a Jew does, the pasuk, if you just separate these words from the rest of the pasuk, usmachtem b'chol mishlach yadchem, whatever you do, you need to be do b'simcha. To serve atom of a techem, you in your house, Hashem berachach, Hashem alakach, that Hashem blessed you. In other words, what does this mean? So he brings down over here at the bottom, if you see. The Rashi says, based on the amount of money you have, that's how much tzedakah you give. But it applies to all area of life. Once you give tzedakah, set aside time to Torah study, community work, be active, based on how much Hashem has given them. Now, there's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, Ani shahevi karban asher yatsa. If a poor man brings a rich man's karban, it's good. Asher shahevi karban ani lo yatsa. If a rich man brings a poor, like, yeah, you know, the certain, we learned in Vayikra, there's certain behemoths, then sometimes birds, sometimes flower offering, depending how much money you had. So the Gemara says, a rich man who brings a poor man's offering is not Yaitza. The poor man, if he did it, is good. The rich man is not Yaitza. So the Mephoshim explain, I mean, in, you know, in Hashkafis Svarim, so to speak, in Musas Svarim, Chassidish Svarim, they all discuss what's the Torah basically telling us like this. You cannot do less than your potential. Rich doesn't only mean in money. Yeah. Okay, let's say you're rich in mind. You can't get away with learning less intense, because if you're rich in mind and you bring less intense, you're not doing the mitzvah. And there's a proof of this, since, you know, it's coming up to Purim in a few weeks. The Mishnah says in Megillah, Mevatlin Talmud Torah L'Kriyas HaMegillah. That's what the Mishnah says in Megillah. You do Bittul Torah to go listen to the Megillah. Meaning, if you're learning, you stop learning to go listen to the Megillah. What are you looking at me like that? So the question is, the Megillah is also Torah. Right? Why you call Bittul Torah? The Mishnah says, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, meaning you do Bittul Torah to read the Megillah. But the Megillah is also Torah. Why are you Bittul Torah? What's the answer? They say, from here you see an interesting thing. What the Mishnah is saying, you could be learning intensely. Yeah? And now listen to the Megillah, you just hear it superficially. I mean, you hear it. You're not going in depth. When they read the Megillah, you're not going in depth. You're just listening to it. You see from there like this. That if you can be learning intense, and you're learning not intense, it's called Bittul Torah. The Mishnah says, you do Bittul Torah to listen to the Megillah. But the Mishnah says it's Bittul Torah. The Megillah is also Torah. Because if you could be learning more intense, and you're learning less intense, that's called Bittul Torah. That means a person who could do more, in communal affairs, in learning, and teaching, and inspiring, and whatever it may be. If you could do more, and you do less, you're not fulfilling your obligation.
How about tzedakah? You can give it to the poor people. About the sacrifice, you cannot do that. Offering, you cannot go for it. Rich to go.
You can give money to a poor person to buy a sacrifice, isn't it?
You can give it? You can give money to poor people to do sacrifice.
For them to buy, not for you to fix tzedakah, sure.
So how come you say you cannot, from high, is not coming down from low going high?
No, I'm saying if you could do more and you do less than what you could do, you're not fulfilling your obligation.
How do you figure out that level? How do you figure it that what?
I'll tell you one thing, don't tell anybody. We all know that as much as we do, we could really do more. In everything. In everything. You never see a person, because, by the way, the more a person does, the more they see they could do. You know, there's an expression in English, if you want to get something done, you ask a busy person to do it. A busy person will get it done.
Yeah, true.
Wow. That's true.
It's true.